The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
That's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Just gone 7 minutes past eight. Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape. I'm your host, Firo Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nasser Myburg. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Santos striker, Jean-Marc Itier. Now, you can join the conversation as well on 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions. And before I speak to Jean-Marc, let's catch up with the latest sporting news coming through from today. Of course, the DStv Premiership ended yesterday. Black Leopards were relegated while Chippa United go into the playoffs. Mamelodi Sundowns are champions. The other teams that make the top eight are AmaZulu, Orlando Pirates, Golden Arrows, SuperSport United, Swallows, Cape Town City and Kaiser Chiefs. Well done to Stellenbosch as well. They finished 14th. They'll remain in the Premiership next season. Friendly internationals that just finished. England beating Romania 1-0. The Netherlands beating Georgia 3-0. Belgium take on Croatia later on. That match getting underway at a quarter to nine. Red Bull Sergio Perez won the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Aston Martin's Sebastian Vettel came second, while Alfa Tauri's Pierre Gasly coming third. Lewis Hamilton finishing 15th, while championship leader Max Verstappen did not finish the race. Serena Williams knocked out of the French Open today in the fourth round. She was beaten by Elena Rybakina. Rybakina winning their 6-3 and 7-5. Of course, the other big news coming through from the French Open, Roger Federer pulling out there because of an injury. And in the men's draw, Daniel Medvedev, he's through to the quarterfinals. He'll take on Stefanos Tsitsipas in those quarters. And of course, if you missed it yesterday, the Springbok squad to take on the Lions and Georgia was announced last night. Following players from the Stormers made the squad: Steven Kitsoff, Frans Malherbe, Bongi Mbonambi, Skara Ntobeni, Marvin Ori, Peter Steph Tutoi, Herschel Yankees, and Damian Willemse. Time now to say a very good evening to Jean-Marc Itier. Thanks for chatting me tonight on the Voice of the Cape.
Good evening, and good evening to all the listeners out there. It's always good to be talking to the people and to everyone.
Jean-Marc, let's start off with your early days. Of course, growing up in Mauritius, was football always your sport of choice?
Yes, I definitely. I was at a very young age. I was involved in different kind of sports and basketball, volleyball, football, and athleticism. And obviously, at a younger age, when it comes to, I think, 13, 14, 15, around there, so I had to make a choice to focus on only one. And as football was almost like in my blood, and so I had to, it wasn't that difficult to choose the sport that I'd like, obviously, to pursue as a career.
Now, Mauritius is a very small island, and football, is that one of the more popular sports on the island?
Yes, I think it's a little bit like here. You know, football is the main sport. Obviously, you've got the other sports like volleyball, basketball, as I said, athletism, and you've got a bit of tennis, golf as well. But football is the main one. Unfortunately, it's not going too well there as well at the moment, I believe. But it remains the main sport on the island.
Now, before we talk about your career in South Africa, tell us about your previous club, Sunrise Vlak, which I believe you played for, and share some of the highlights, of course, playing for Mauritius as well, where you earned about 50 caps.
Yeah, so at first, just to maybe before I get to Mauritius, I'm from a very small island called Rodrigues. You know, it belongs to Mauritius. That's why we are all Mauritians there, even if we're born on this small island called Rodrigues, in which I actually seized the opportunity to invite all South Africans to visit that island, because it's very beautiful. It's a must see. That's where I was born, and then from there, then I started playing football on that in Rodrigues. And then I was obviously, I moved to Mauritius there, and, you know, obviously as a police officer then. And then obviously I was playing the police force had a team in the league, in the first division. And then I joined the police team. And didn't even finish a season when I was approached by Sunrise FC. If I had to give you an example of the Sunrise FC in Mauritius, it's a bit like the Kaizer Chiefs, the Sundowns of South Africa.
Wow, okay.
You know, that's the followers, the fans, the supporters, and the financial backing and the sponsors that Sunrise had. It was the Sun International Hotels. You know, it's quite... that's why we were like almost semi-pro there as well. So I had many good years at the Sunrise and winning the leagues several times. And obviously when I joined Sunrise, and I joined the national team as well, because we had a very good squad. All our players, even the squad of 15, 16, 18 players, we were all in the national team. That's how good and competitive the squad was. And so then obviously joining the national team as well, and then won many trophies as well. And So it's been a good, positive journey and fruitful. And you know, I can look back and say, yeah, it was a good career.
Now, how did you get your opportunity to come to South Africa and play here for Santos in Cape Town?
I was, it was 1998 when we South Mauritius. We played South Africa in the AFCON qualifiers, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I had in both legs. I had two good games, I think. Then I was contacted by Santos if I'm interested to come and join Santos. Looks like they were looking for a striker, a big striker there up front. And when I got the call, and then I said to myself, let's give it a try, because it was a. It was at a time where football was, funny enough, it was at a time where I was thinking of retiring in Mauritius there, actually. It was like I was 33, turning 34, when I got that call to come and play here, professional football. I was a little bit surprised, but at the same time, I was very happy. Got a call, I got the invitation to come here for a trial here with Santos, and I came. I think it was for 2 weeks. And I came here, and then it was successful. And then I was up here with Cape Town, with Santos, with all the what I saw here, what I experienced. And then I, again, to my surprise, I thought at that age I was expecting maybe a one-year contract, a one-year deal, and then maybe with options to renew. And to my surprise, I got a three-year deal. So I signed it. And then when I was here, then I spoke to my wife, who was in Mauritius then. Then I said, okay, let's... because I had the family already with two boys. And, it wasn't easy also. We had to consider lots of things. And, so then we took the decision with my wife and the family to come down here. And it wasn't easy to accommodate for the family to adapt here. And so we took the decision, we came here and we had a few good seasons and successful seasons, I must say, and which I'm very happy and very pleased. I think, as I said, the rest is history, eh?
No, absolutely. And you're still in Cape Town loving it, absolutely.
Yeah. So I was supposed to come for one season, and now I'm still in Cape Town after 20-odd years. Yeah. So it's unbelievable, but I'm very happy. I don't regret anything. It was a very, very good experience, and to play pro football here in Cape Town, and especially not just to add numbers, but to win trophies, and it was magic. And I'm very, very pleased with the success I've had here with Santos.
Fantastic. Now, before signing for Santos, did you know much about Santos? Did you have to do some research on them or anything like that? Because obviously at the time, Santos was not one of the bigger clubs in South Africa.
No, actually, to be honest, I didn't know. I didn't know much about football here in South Africa, actually. I've never been to Cape Town, and but I've played a lot in the Africa Cups and all these African qualifiers. But we always transited via Joburg, and every now and then we play Bafana. It's mostly Zambia, Kenya, and then we transited via Joburg to go to other African countries. But it's just like 1 day, 2 days in Joburg, and then we're off, And then on the way back to Mauritius, we transited via Joburg and for one night and a few hours, and then we go back to Mauritius. And never been to Cape Town and didn't even know what Cape Town looked like. That's why I said I don't regret anything, because I would have missed this beautiful city of Cape Town.
And
that's now I can call the second home.
Absolutely.
And made lots of friends and experienced, a very nice way of life and everything. It's great. A great city. That's why, they said Cape Town is one of the best, most beautiful cities in the world. And it's very true.
No, absolutely. And of course, I also believe that whilst you were at Santos, maybe in your earlier days, that you were, I'm not sure if you approached, but the bigger clubs in Johannesburg wanted to sign you as well. If that is true, why didn't you go for that?
Yeah, so that's true. I was contacted by a few people, actually, agents and other people in the football industry. And because I had a good impact as well. The first game against Ajax, I remember I scored at the Athlone Stadium, and then against Pirates afterwards, I got two goals there in Joburg, and so on. So I was contacted by a few people to join the big clubs in Joburg. But for me, family is very important. It was already a big decision for me to move my family from Mauritius to here to Cape Town.
Mm.
And to get the boys at school, and which was all very important for me. And I said, fortunately for us, we adapted, with the boys at school, my wife here, and we adapted. Took a little bit of time, but we adapted quite well, some time. And, I was contacted in the same season, when I did well, I was contacted then to move to Joburg for the following season. And then I said, I spoke to my wife about it, and then I said, we have to move the whole family to Joburg. And now we're well established here. The boys are just started school. Obviously, we are French-speaking, they're Creole, and it was already an adjustment for the boys as well. And moving the whole family now to Joburg, an unknown place again, and for me it was not just about paying bigger clubs and making more money and things like that. So my family had to be well settled and well adapted, and and that's the main reason why I said, okay, fine, I'll just deal with what I've got now and make a success out of it. And that's why I decided to stay here in Cape Town with Santos.
Fantastic. Jean-Marc, we're just going to take an ad break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Just gone 22 minutes past 8. We're talking to the former Santos striker, Jean-Marc Itier. Jean-Marc, now before we talk about your career with Santos and your highlights with Santos, I remember you as this tall striker, very good in the air. What were your strengths as a striker?
I've been asked this question lots of times and from the reporters, from the media. And I think my strength, I don't see, for me myself, I had this thing in me that I was never satisfied with my, I always wanted to reach greater heights. I've never been completely satisfied with myself. And even if I've scored a hat-trick in the game, I'll never be satisfied completely with me. But I guess it's just my thinking, my mindset of always, you know, seeing the things before others. I think that would say that one of my qualities, because I always in the game and read the game nicely, and I always think ahead of the defenders mainly. So, it's like basically I've got a split segment ahead of them. And when they're reacting, I'm already there, and that's my anticipation has always been good, and my mind was always working 200%, you know. So in picking things, learning quicker than others, and anticipating things quicker than others, and as I said earlier, that just looking at growing and getting better and better all the time. So I think that was one of my strengths. And with that said, then I always try and improve on every game that I played. And, you know, it was just like, I think my mindset was the most positive thing that I'd say that I got. Mm. And that certainly helped me a lot in my career in being successful.
Now, you sent us as all-time leading goal scorer, I believe 71 goals in 203 appearances. So that's a fantastic record that you have with Santos. And as you mentioned earlier, you won quite a few honors with them, Bob Safe Super Bowl under Clive Barker. You won the PSL title under Gordon Earson, as well as the BP Top 8 and the APSA Cup with Bobby Solomons at the helm there. Firstly, tell us, what was it like to work under these three different coaches, and what was it like winning these trophies?
But it was great, and every top athlete, every in particular soccer that we're talking about, I think if you played football and you've had a long career, and then you haven't won anything, it's like almost like a failure, you know. And this is what we all top professionals, you know, look for in a career. You playing the game, you make lots of sacrifices, and you put lots of efforts in your game, and winning trophies is what we all want. And obviously with that comes the individual accolades as well, and you know, but these trophies, coming here to South Africa, even you know, wanting to play professional football and not winning anything with Santos would have been a bit of a sour taste, you know. But coming here, especially at the very last few years of my career, and winning four trophies in three seasons with what we call a small club here in South Africa, Santos, I mean, that's a really
huge achievement.
You know, it's a massive achievement, but it's not just for me. It's for all, the whole club and all the players that were involved, and the management and everything. So we somehow got it right, and obviously with the coaches that came in as well, we had a very good synergy. The whole coaches, players, and we had some good experienced players as well that were on board. And but it was great. Eh? It was great, great achievement. We're very proud looking back now. Very proud of what we achieved, and we work hard for it as well. And now it's like, you know, it's almost like mission accomplished. When we look back, we said, okay, fine. You know, we achieved this and this and this. And it's not just to say that it's like a cup or a Bob Save Cup, or where you play three games and four games and you win a cup. We've won the championship as well. Mm. It's like one long season. And beating the likes of the Pirates, the Chiefs, or the Sundowns like that, it's not an easy thing to do. And but I always say, I always compare us. Sometimes it happens everywhere as well. I always compare that with Leicester when they won the league in the English Premiership.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and this is just goes to say that it's always a team sport. It's a teamwork that prevails at the end of the day.
Mm.
Even how many great players you've got, and it comes back to the teamwork, to the team mentality. And I think when you look at all these coaches that you mentioned, Clive Barker, Bobby Solomons, Gordon Higginson, they all managed to get that group to work together in one way or the other to be successful, to win these trophies, and which, again, we're very proud of.
Now, you spoke about some of the players, the team and stuff. Just come to mind, I can think of some of the players, Andre Arends, Moussa Otieno, Idris Burton, yourself, fellow Mauritian Sebastian Bach. So there were some brilliant players in that Santos squad over that period.
Yes, definitely. We I think when we look back, if you look at things, we can say Santos, you know, was a small club, but we have big name players. Maybe South Africa and the media didn't know it or didn't want to know it, but we had a very good team. You know, we look at these names, and there's a Ricardo Manetti as well from Namibia.
Yes.
These are all seasoned professional players, experienced players, national team players. I think there was one moment in time where we had, I think, five or six national team captains in the team. We've Andre Arends there, Captain Bafana Bafana, and we had Ricardo Manetti, captain of Namibia, Moussa Otieno, captain of Kenya, John Bidzo, captain of Zimbabwe, me, I was captaining the national team in Mauritius, and we look at all these things, five, six national team captains, and that's a massive experience and quality that, you know, that the team, that we brought to the team. So then for the media, for South Africa, it was always Kaizer Chiefs, it was Pirates, it was Sundowns, it was the teams there from Joburg. But we knew what the quality that we had in the team. And the experience that we got along the way, and we didn't worry much about what the media was saying about, oh, Pirates was the best team, so Chiefs was the best team here. And we knew our quality, and we... When we worked on the field and we make sure coming the weekends, coming the games, we deliver and we perform and we be successful in whatever we did. And so then adding to all these experiences, we had good young players, like, for example, like Tyron Arense, who was like quite young, who was joining us. Players like these who are now also, they also had a brilliant career afterwards.
Mm.
But all in all, we had some good experienced players and a good few youngsters coming through, and it was a very good balance there. But at the end of the day, the whole team was pulling in the same direction, and that's what made our strength.
No, absolutely. Now, for yourself, for you personally, any highlight or a goal or something that stands out for you personally? Looking back now, I say, okay, this stands out for me, or this specific goal. Anything like that?
There's quite a good few in this long career. I would say mainly, okay, if we take here, I think there's like maybe two goals that came to my mind is... I think it was both, one at the old Greenpoint Stadium there. One was the semi-final against Swallows, where we won 1-0 to get to the final against Sundowns. You know, that it was a very tight game, and Swallows also, they had lots of quality players, and I remember very much that time, every time we played against Swallows, Mark Batchelor, we'll play center back instead of target man, instead of striker, to mark me.
Mm.
And I had this Mark Batchelor all 90 minutes plus. It was on my heels. And he was a solid guy as well, very aggressive guy and good player also. And I remember that one moment that he lost me, I got a through ball. That one moment that he lost me, I got that one goal. And that was enough to qualify us for the final of the Bob Saves, which we won against Sundowns in Joburg.
Wow.
That was a quite impactful goal. And then the second one, what I would say, is what's still there at the old Greenport Stadium. That was in the league then. It was us and Pirates who were fighting for the league. I think we were top and Pirates was just behind us on our heels. And it was then almost the game of the season there here at the Greenport Stadium. And it was a very tight game again, obviously. And again, I got this one opportunity. I remember that very well, that John Bizzo there from the right-hand side crossing the ball in the box. And I raised and I connect that ball with the head. That was 1-0. I got the ball in the top right corner. It was 1-0. And then, obviously, we closed shop after this. Should have got another one just a few minutes after that. It just passed the upright there. And we just closed up after this. We won that game 1-0. And that took us, I think if I'm not mistaken, 3 or 4 points ahead of Pirates. And that just gave us the edge to win the championship, to be champions after that. So that was, I think, 2 goals that was quite, that created a good impact that I can still remember.
Wow, fantastic. And, of course, you, like you said, you came here into your 30s, and I think you retired when you were about 41. So how did you manage to keep going at that level, you know, playing at that level in the Premier League in your late 30s and then early 40s? How did you manage that?
Yeah, it was tough. It's not easy. And I think you had to plan things better, work harder. It's like almost the older you get, the harder you have to work. And I did just that. And it was just all rest in between training. Recovery time was very important. And the keeping the focus on the game, and it was, you know, it was crucial. And you know, again, working the mental, you know, adjusting the mental and as we go along. And it was very important to adjust all the time, adjust the game all the time, read the game, see what's happening, evolve with the game all the time. It was very, very important. And because at this late stage of your career, and this happens to everyone, people always judge you, and the first one mistake you make or one goal you miss, obviously the media will be on your back. Okay, this guy is finished. This guy is finished. You know, this guy is finished. He's not come back until you score. You start scoring again, and now they say, "Oh, the guy is back. The guy is back." And then now you miss again. This guy is finished now. You know, it keeps on going like this. So you got to be very strong to keep believing in yourself and keep working hard and keep performing on the, you know, on the ground.
Mm.
So, but yeah, it as you get older, it becomes harder and harder and harder. And actually, the last season I was turning 41. I think it was just John Shoes Moshu and myself who were the two oldest players in the PSL at that time. And so actually, I was tempted to play one more season until I turned 41, turning 42. And then I said to myself, you know, I remember very much at the Athlone Stadium. Roger Dissa was the coach then. Then after the season, he asked me. He called me Marco. They said, "Marco, what you want to do? You want to play one more, or you want to stop here?" And I gave it a good thought, and then I said, "No, this is it. I have to stop here." And then that was it. And when I look back, as I said before, I'm quite happy and pleased with the career, and it's been quite a long one. Sometimes maybe an unexpected one as well. So, but I'm quite pleased with that.
listener. Absolutely. You hung up your boots, I think, in 2006, but remained with Santos in a coaching capacity. How did that go?
Yes, that was so good. You know, it was challenging, but good. I got Roger again when I retired. I joined the coaching staff, assisting Roger in the, with the first team, and learned a lot with the coaches that came through that I was assisting there at Santos. And I had the chance to manage the team as well, to be in charge of the team as the caretaker coach for half a season, first round, for 6 months. And that went well as well. It was challenging, but I managed, you know, to learn a lot of things through that that period. But yeah, it was then obviously we were in a transition period as well with all the, our experienced guys that were successful. Also, they were leaving one by one, and then we had lots of new players coming through. It was interesting and challenging. But yeah, it's, all in all, it was a very, very good experience in playing and in managing the team as well. So it was great.
Fantastic. Jean-Marc, we're going to take another ad break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with you.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Discord 841. My guest tonight is the former Santos striker, Jean-Marc Itier. Now, Jean-Marc, I got a message from one of our listeners, Suleika, who says she's admired your amazing football journey so far, and she gives a few thumbs up there. So, obviously, Santos had a lot of fans in Cape Town, the people's team, and I'm sure you were glad to be part of that as well.
No, definitely. I'm just, you know, I'm just glad I played my part in making the fans happy and winning trophies. And that's what we, you know, we can't. It's like almost we're non-existent without the fans. Without our fans, you know, the fans plays a big, very big part in a professional life of a of an athlete, of a footballer. Yeah, so. I think we're pleased to have played our part in making sure that the fans, you know, enjoy this moment with us.
No, absolutely. Now, I believe you also had the opportunity of coaching the South African homeless squad at the World Cup. That must have been a fantastic experience as well.
Yes, it was very, it was a very nice experience, you know, and a different challenge, you know, with dealing with the players, because the main challenge that I experienced with them was to get them to basically to play as a team. Because you know these guys they are survivors. They know just themselves, and they've been learning how to survive on their own, and they know themselves, and they don't. You will ask them to share something, and this is not part of their mindset. But to get them to share the ball, to understand teamwork, and to have this mindset of, you know, working as a team, that was one of the most difficult challenges I faced with them. But it was a very good experience as well, and to. Actually, not so long ago, I met one guy. I built some good relationship with him. I met one player that was playing then. He came to me. He greeted me. I didn't know who he was. Then he told me that he was one of the players from the Homeless World Cup. We hugged each other, and it was a very, very, almost like emotional, very... you know, emotional moment.
Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely.
So, yeah, and he looks, it looks like now he's made a life for himself, and he looks, you know, like he's enjoying life now at the moment. So it was good.
By the way, how did you guys do
it? All in all, it was a very good experience.
By the way, how did you guys do at the World Cup?
We didn't do too badly, but not great neither. So... I think we played a few games. We won some, lost some, and but it was very many years ago. It was I can't remember where we ended, but they had, you know, we started quite slow. I'm learning, obviously, these guys never played in that in these kind of tournaments. Mm. And then once we got going, it was a little bit too late, but we had a good run. They enjoyed the tournament.
Now, you're still involved in soccer. Now, I believe you have an academy here in Cape Town. Tell us about your academy.
Yes, I've got one in Pinelands. Actually, it's almost 10 years now, a little bit more than 10 years. We've been operating here in Pinelands. It's been, again, it's been challenging again, but we're still going. And the most important thing is we're teaching the young kids how to play football, how to play football properly. But not only that, I think we've got life skills as well through our coaches that we try to teach the young kids as well, you know, how to behave, how to deal with off the field, how to deal with, you know, life in general. But, yes, it's challenging, but it's going well. And this is where I want to be. This is my passion, and I like teaching young kids and share the experience with others. And I think we are in the right direction at the moment. So, yeah, all good. Looking forward for the next 10 years, maybe.
No, absolutely. Now, anyone in the Pinelands area that want to get involved, how can they contact your academy or get hold of you guys?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, the GMI Football Club, GMI Cape Town Football Club and Academy.
GMI.
They just GMI Cape Town Football Club and Academy.
Mm-hmm.
We just on Facebook, and there's my number there. Anybody who wants to contact us, they are welcome to do so. So then we'll be pleased to assist whatever we can.
Fantastic. Jean-Marc Etier, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you tonight, and all the best to you and your academy.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure too. It's anytime I'm here, and when it comes to talk about football and my career, so I'm always looking forward to it. But yeah, thanks a lot for having me on your platform.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and all the best to you.
Okay, pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that edition of Inside Sport. The former Santos striker there, Jean-Marc Etier, sharing his career with us. I'll be back with more sporting news on the Drive Time from Monday to Friday. From Ifiro Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
This is Inside Sport.